Heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, our desire is to equip you not only to defend the historic Christian faith, but to become a winsome witness to a spiritually hungry but skeptical world, because life and truth matter. To learn more, or to find resources to help you grow in grace, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Nowhere is there a more clear-cut contrast between genuine revival and counterfeit revival than when it comes to an earthly versus an eternal perspective. While the preaching of the Great Awakening was focused on eternal verities, the promises of the counterfeit revival are focused on earthly vanities. Benny Hinn, who has had a profound impact on such counterfeit revival leaders as John Arnott, is a classic case in point, personifying the epitome of an earthly perspective. He said this:
I'm sick and tired of hearing about streets of gold. I don't need gold in heaven. I gotta have it now. I mean, when I get to glory, all my bills will be paid, brother. I won't have bills in glory. I won't need to worry about bills in glory. I can have it here. He said, well, Benny Hinn, isn't it wonderful to have gold, streets, and glory? Well, of course. But if I hear the thing one more time of how it will be and how it was, I'm going to kick somebody.
Benny Hinn not only says that he's got to have the gold, but he also says we're going to have good health.
I believe the day will come when every believer will be healed. I believe we're coming into a season of an incredible visitation of God, where we are going to see greater glory than they saw in the book of Acts. That will happen just before the coming of the Lord. What happened to Israel before they left Egypt is the tremendous, powerful miracle where it says all were healed. Not one was feeble among their tribes. God will do it again. We are going to see a mighty visitation of God where all will be healed. Israel was healed before they left Egypt. We will be healed before we leave this world.
And you can hear him say, this day is coming. I tell you this, I know it like I know my name. The day is coming where there will not be one sick saint in the body of Christ. No one will be. Nobody's going to be. No one will be raptured out of a wheelchair. No one will be raptured out of a hospital bed. We're all going to be healed before the rapture. God supposedly is now raising up a Christian army to take over the socio-political systems of the day. Not even Elijah or Peter or Paul or anyone else enjoyed the power that is going to rest upon this great army. Rick Joyner, one of the popular counterfeit revivalists of today, raises the expectations of his devotees to fever pitch. He says no one is going to look back at the early church as a standard. All will be saying that the Lord has certainly saved his best wine for last. It was said of the Apostle Paul that he was turning the world upside down. It will be said of the apostles of this generation, soon to be anointed, that they have turned an upside down world right side up. Nations will tremble at the mention of the names of these super apostles and prophets. It will soon be commonplace to see awesome manifestations of the glory of God, they say. Creative miracles will take place. eyeballs will form. Legs and arms will grow out. People will leap out of wheelchairs. Sin, sickness, disease, spiritual death, poverty, and everything else that's of the devil, the things that once ruled us, we will rule them. For this is the day of dominion. Remember, this was said before the year 2000. The more you listen to these messages, the more crystal clear their common refrain is. Leaders of today's counterfeit revival demand the kingdom now, in this life, with all of its attendant material wealth, its public accolades, physical health, earthly power. But what did Jesus say? He said, "My kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is from another place." When his followers heard that, their shouts went from, "Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel," to, "Crucify him. We have no king but Caesar." Like leaders of the counterfeit revival, their sights were focused on earth, not on eternity. In sharp contrast, genuine revival has always been at work to lessen men's esteem of the pleasures and profits and honors of this world, and to take off their hearts from an eager pursuit after these things and engage them in deep concern about a future state, an eternal happiness, which the Gospels reveal, and put them upon earnestly seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. I love what C.S. Lewis said. "Aim at heaven, and you get earth thrown in. Aim at earth, you get neither." It's high time that our preaching and our practice start to focus on those eternal verities that really matter. You want a real experience? Try becoming an equipped Christian, having the Holy Spirit move through you in the process of leading another lost son or daughter of Adam into the kingdom of the second Adam, the last Adam, Jesus Christ. Then you will have a real experience. Benny Hinn can promise that there'll be no more deaf ears or blind eyes or lame legs. The truth is, he's wrong. His prophecies have all failed and will continue to fail. He couldn't help Ava Gabor, and he can't help anyone else either. That's why he's not in hospitals emptying them out. It's all bravado. The reality is, as long as we are in this world, there'll be sickness and disease and suffering and decay. "But take heart," said Jesus, "I have overcome the world." We look forward, not to health and wealth now, but we look forward to resurrected bodies, a place of righteousness, redeemed with the resurrected Redeemer, in glory for all eternity. That is our goal, that is our hope, that is what we will attain to as believers. So once again, we need to learn to live with eternity in mind. Let's go to the phone lines. First up is Patty. Patty's listening in Sun City West, Arizona. Hi, Patty.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I have heard different views that Jesus is going to return or he already has returned. What is your take on that?
Well, Jesus Christ came in the first Advent, and we celebrate that each Christmas. We remember that Jesus Christ came in flesh. We're told in the book of Hebrews that Jesus Christ will appear a second time. So we look forward to the second Advent of Jesus Christ, in which he will put all things to right. The dead will rise immortal, imperishable, incorruptible, the earth which now groans in travail, awaiting its liberation from bondage to decay, will be restored to what it was before sin entered the world. So we look forward to the restoration of all things, our bodies, this universe, and that will happen when Jesus Christ returns. The famous passage, "Do not be amazed at this, a time is coming when all who are in the grace will come out. Some will rise to live and some will rise to be condemned." So Jesus Christ himself prophesied that he will come again.
Okay, well, that answers my question. I thank you so much.
You got it, Patty. We'll be right back with more.
The Church of Almighty God, also known as Eastern Lightning, is a socially subversive pseudo-Christian cult. It follows a self-proclaimed female Christ whose heretical doctrines incite violence. Denying the Trinity and biblical authority, Eastern Lightning uses psychological intimidation, disrupts families, and has even perpetrated physical assaults. In graphic language, the counterfeit Christ exhorts followers to abandon their families and devote themselves to recruiting new converts, branding those who refuse as worthless. You can read more about the iron rod of this false almighty God in a special print issue of the Christian Research Journal. To receive your copy, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping, life-changing outreaches. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Don't tune out. Hank Hanegraaff will be back with more right after this. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order the Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org.
Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Let's go to the phone lines. First up is Daniel listening on the web in Nashville, Tennessee. Hi, Daniel.
Hey, Hank, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Hey, I had a question for you. I grew up in the Word of Faith movement, and so I struggle now when somebody does come to me and ask me for healing, like one of my children when they're sick. Hey, Daddy, can you pray for me that Jesus will heal me? And so I struggle in my mind because, as you just said, you know, these healings are very rare, and so I feel like I have a lack of faith. Should we not pray for healing when someone's sick, or should we just pray for the will of God to be done in their life?
Well, if you're in the Word of Faith movement, to pray the will of God be done is the ultimate faithless prayer. In fact, you have Word of Faith teachers saying that is tantamount to calling God a fool. It is a faith-destroying kind of prayer. But if you are a genuine believer, that is the only prayer you would utter. You want not my will, but thy will be done, because we see just a snapshot in time. God sees the entirety of our lives, and he knows exactly what is best for us. Therefore, we should always pray, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. If Johnny Erickson Tada, who is one of my heroes in the faith, who is even now in a wheelchair as a quadriplegic, has spent decades in a wheelchair, if her prayers had been answered, she would be out of the wheelchair. Because if her will would have been ratified, God would have healed her. But she prayed, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done, and her wheelchair has become her crown. And out of the glory of that wheelchair, she has led multitudes to a deep relationship with the Savior. Her life has had enduring, everlasting value. She has laid up for herself treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not corrupt and where thieves do not break in and steal. So our prayer should always be preceded by, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Because God knows what's best for us, and therefore we place our faith not in our own faith, but we place our faith in God, and that is well-placed faith.
So should I pray for healing, and then in the prayer, not my will, but thine be done?
Yes, we should always precede our prayers with thy will be done. Jesus Christ taught us to pray that way, and we see that any kind of prayer that does not include that is a prayer that is based on credulity rather than faith. Listen to what James says. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. Again, James here emphasizes the prayer, thy will be done, which he learned from the Master himself.
All right. Well, I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Charlie in Salt Lake City, Utah. Hi, Charlie.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
My question was to you is, the ministry of Andrew Womack, do you have any history on him, or have you heard about his ministry?
Yeah, it's a classic Word of Faith ministry, where he says sickness comes only when we allow it. Or he says, God desires you to prosper. And he takes texts out of context and uses them as pretexts for his theology. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. He uses that as guarantee for healing, but what is the healing in view here? He was bruised for our iniquities, in other words, our sins. He was wounded for our transgressions. So what are we healed of? Our sins and transgressions. We continue in our infirmities until the time that we are resurrected, immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. That's why we always say in Christian theology that Christianity does not give us a peaceful way to come to terms with sickness and with death. It gives us something far greater, a way to overcome them through the power of Christ's resurrection.
Great. Well, thank you very much. We really appreciate you. God bless.
Thank you very much. And of course, I've written about this in Christianity Crisis 21st Century, because there is an attendant dark side to all of this. It might sound good to hear people say you can prosper and have health, but the opposite side of the coin is that this, according to men like Joel Osteen, is a spiritual principle and works whether what you are saying is good or bad, positive or negative, which is to say that if you speak words of fear, you are going to reap the benefits. So if you have cancer, you have yourself to blame. Eerily similar to New Thought practitioners who are telling people that we are attracting everything to ourselves, there is no exception. Unfortunately, that message has been repackaged for Christian consumption. That's why I wrote the book Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Check it out on the web at equip.org. Let's go right back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Paul next. He's listening in El Paso, Texas, on the web. Hi, Paul.
Hey, Hank. How are you doing? Good to talk to you again.
Nice to talk to you.
Wonderful. Hey, listen, I'm sitting here with a group of newcomers in a Bible study group. The question was raised after studying the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6 and Luke chapter 11, how exactly should a Christian start a prayer? Jesus opened his prayer with, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." And the question was raised, can we use his Hebrew name Yahweh, or just stick to Jesus, or even say the Holy Spirit, since the Holy Spirit is our helper, comforter, counselor? Or some have even suggested, why not say Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord will provide, or even Jehovah Rapha, which means the Lord who heals?
Yeah, well, I think it's important to recognize that the model prayer, the prayer of Jesus, the prayer that Jesus taught his followers to pray, does start in exactly the way that you just enunciated. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And I think that the recognition here is that first and foremost, our desire, what we really care about, is that God's name be hallowed. So that becomes the initial request of prayer, that God's name be made holy. To pray, hallowed be your name, is to put the emphasis on God first, exactly where the emphasis belongs. Our daily lives should radiate a far greater commitment to God's nature and his holiness than to our own needs. So to pray, hallowed be your name, is to pray that God be given the unique reverence that his holiness demands, that God's word be preached without corruption, that our churches be led by faithful pastors and preserved from false prophets, that we be kept from language that profanes the name of God, and that our thought lives remain holy, that we cease from seeking honor for ourselves, but asked instead that God's name be magnified. So that's where we should start. That's where our focus and our priority should be. But in saying that, there's nothing wrong with using the names of God as opposed to the titles for God. There's nothing wrong with addressing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and thanking him for his sacrificial death on our behalf. There's nothing wrong with thanking the Holy Spirit for empowering us as we pray, as we witness, as we provide for our families. So the standard is we pray to the Father in the name of the Son or through the Son by the power of the Holy Spirit. But Jesus himself invites us to pray to him in John 14, 14. So there is no set formula. We pray to one God and we recognize who that God is and how that God has revealed himself. One God revealed in three persons who are eternally distinct. So there are subject-object distinctions between the Father and the Son. Thus, we don't suppose the Father became the Son. Therefore, we can pray to both the Father and the Son. And we can use the designations that have meaning provided for us in the Bible. He is the God who provides, and therefore we can use that name for God in our prayers as well. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So long for now.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith, answer Bible questions, and encourage Christians to watch their life and doctrine closely. To find resources to help equip you, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call us at 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI.